Can I ask, Skeet Ulrich, is he in Scream?
I don't know. You don't get this kind of gold on the Hess and Blumenthal podcast. Hello, you. It's time to pour one out with the Pouring Old Man. This is episode 9 of the Pouring Old Man podcast. My name is Russell, and I'm joined this week, as always, he's a man with a hard-earned thirst. It's Anthony Pitt.
How are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. And from a place more pure than yours, it's Warren.
G'day, guys. How you going?
Good. I spent some time looking at the old Pure Blonde ad this week. Man, that was a good age of beer advertising back then.
Oh, the Carlton Mid ad. It's a big ad.
Oh, the Carlton Draft. Yep.
Yeah, it's still the best.
That's pretty good. And there's the two blonde ads. Is the one where they've got the angels and stuff pouring beers from the river into that, and the truck driver turns up. And there's the one with the pigeon. The guy picks up the pigeon, nurses him back to life, and he cracks it. Oh,
yeah. Nice. Great times.
Great times. The golden age of beer advertising.
Yeah, what happened?
They've got too many rules these days. Not allowed to look like you're enjoying beer on a beer, right? Not allowed to look like your life has improved because of drinking beer. You're not allowed to look like you're doing anything dangerous. Anyway.
So all the good stuff.
It suits me because I don't do any of that. I don't drink beer anyway.
just passed out on the couch.
Just drink beer at home and be boring like everyone else.
So who are we? We are the Pouring Old Man, just a bunch of old men who are massive fans of the craft. That's right. We love the 1996 movie about teenage witchcraft starring Neve Campbell and Skeet Ulrich.
Yeah. Is that who it starred?
Yeah.
All I ever remember from Neve Campbell is Wild Things.
Of course you do.
Well, yes. I don't remember anything of her. I remember like the other two girls in
there. The same. Let's leave it at that.
There's a few scenes in that one, yes.
And for the children, ask your dad.
It would be on a cassette tape in the back of a VHS. What's this dusty old VHS?
It might have a few of those rewind pause stutter issues on it.
It's stuck on the 36th minute, my dad. Why? Run away. Life before the internet. Yes. Kids will never know. Kids will never know. So we are the Pouring Old Men, bunch of old timers sitting around talking about craft beer. We're not beer insiders, we're beer outsiders. That would tell you the brutal truth about the beers we drink.
That probably sums us up pretty good.
Yeah. We release episodes of the Pouring Old Man podcast every Monday morning, like clockwork. Well, not a very good clock, but, you know, it's a clock that works.
Yeah, as long as the...
It's only got one hand. You're not sure, is it the hour hand or is it the minute hand? It's still working.
Fingers and toes, and we'll work it out eventually.
Which one of those? Say, like, a clock stop is right twice.
Clocks.
Yes.
Right twice a day.
If a clock is going backwards, how many times is it right today?
Good question. I don't know. That's far too philosophical for a beer podcast. Yeah.
Let us know on our socials so then we can make fun of you for working that out.
Nerds.
Speaking of the socials.
Yes. Find us. Yes. Nice link. What is it? Instagram?
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter.
Twitter. Tumblr, as we mentioned.
Did we get the Pinterest page up and running yet?
Not yet. Okay. That requires work.
Yeah, we'll put that on the to-do list.
YouTube. Yes.
Yep.
Find us. Subscribe. Follow. Yep. All those above. Tick the bell on YouTube. Leave some comments.
We are the number 16th best food podcast in Australia on iTunes that releases episodes on a Monday that starts with the letter P.
Don't undersell us, mate.
In our
category.
I like to play us down, mate. We're the little intruder on these big boys' turf.
We wish we were already getting some comments from some of the big boys, which is nice. So, but yeah, we are number 16 on the Australian Food Podcast.
Yeah, we left Heston Blumenthal in our dust. Yes. Like a few days ago, we were number 77 or something like that.
We started off at
neck and neck with Heston, you know, the little bald-headed chef, bloody plays with his food too much in London.
But yeah.
And he's nowhere now. Where is he? What's he doing?
In 48 hours, we've jumped to number 16, which is the second highest rated beer podcast in the country.
Yes.
Guys, I don't know about you, but there's been a black van following me around from brewery to brewery.
Does it have step brewers on the side of it? So they might be looking out for us or something. I don't know.
I don't know, but I'm scared.
Because they're what? One place in front of us?
No, I think that one. Bruce News is in front of us.
Bruce News is the one,
Which is embarrassing for them because they're a very serious podcast. So
that seems like a missed opportunity. Why wouldn't you call it Bruce Clues?
Oh. Why didn't we call ours?
Catch us next week on Bruce Clues.
Oh, well done.
That's a better name than Poor Old Moon. Yeah. Where were you 2 months ago, Wasp? Come on, mate.
Yeah, you contributed to the this. The pub. Yeah. We shouldn't have been drinking at work. Yeah. Not that we do that sort of thing. So.
Oh, is this work?
Yeah, this is...
Well, actually, at the moment, it's volunteer work, so it doesn't count.
Yeah, it's slave labour.
You can pay us some beer, though.
We will accept beer of all kinds as payment. Yes. Mm-hmm. And we will give you a shout-out. Which, speaking of shout-outs...
That's a bit forced as far as segues go, but yeah. Carry on.
No, I actually didn't have any beyond the fact that we were the number 16 rated podcast, so... Mm. Thank you.
Just give a couple of days when everyone else actually releases a episode this week. And
on that one. We live in the glory while it lasts.
But they say, like, if you want to get the best of the Poor Old Man, the best episode to listen to is the last one on your playlist you haven't listened to yet. And the second best one is the next one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You've got to listen to all of them.
I like it.
That's it. Anyway, so have a look. What have we been drinking?
I suppose we should probably get on to that, hey?
Yeah, all right. Now, what's going to kick us off? What have you been drinking, son?
Oh, he's pulling out a big list. I can see it rolling. Oh,
yeah. I'll start again. So this is part one of what Waz has been drinking. We'll bring you part two later.
It's a special episode just of his own.
I thought you had a phone book delivered out the front. You brought that in. No, no, that's just what he had this week.
And that announces our special episode title this week. I have been busy, trying to focus on the Victorian breweries a little bit. So I've had a Nitro Magical Christmas Unicorn from Bridge Road.
Yes.
Is that what you woke up with the next morning, or is that what beer you had? The previous night?
Both.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
I did like their other Christmas release as well.
The Fat Man
Big Bread Sack. Soup, Big Sack.
Yep.
I'm going to move on from that. Yeah. I'm a fanboy of Bridge Road stuff.
Yes.
Yep. Every time they release a Nitro, I get really excited and then really disappointed.
Mm.
They're flat. I'm sorry, guys. Yeah. They're flat.
Yeah.
And it's painful. Maybe on tap it might be different. I don't know.
And I wonder if it's the travel aspect that's causing some issues with that one.
Travel makes me flat.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
Why don't they use the widget? Like you know, the Guinness can, they have the widget in there. So they force nitrogen into the can and it's forced into the little widget ball inside the can. And when you open up and release it, that's how the nitrogen gets there. Whereas in Australia, they freeze it down to liquid nitrogen, inserts it in. So when it comes up to room temperature, it turns into a gas.
Mm. Yeah. So science. I wonder if that's.
So there's something there. So,
yeah.
I know early in the year, Brendale had issues with one of the Nitro Raven Dark Ale, which they came out, and full credit to them, they came out and said it didn't work as well as we hoped. But then, you know, I had the Pavlova one from Four Wines. It was pretty bad. Even the Lemon Pie PA from Two Birds, the Nitro wasn't great in that one as well.
There is like the Handsome Elvis from Bolter. Every single time I crack is perfect.
The Helios
did a perfect Nitro. So,
yeah, they're just hit and miss, I think, unfortunately.
Mm.
Yeah.
Moving on, otherwise we'll be here all episode.
Actually, sorry, just to not move on. Yes, I bag out Four Pines for the Pavlova, but they do a Nitro Stout, and that's always on point with the Nitro.
Yes, so, and it is just an easy to get one as well.
So they actually nail the Nitro on that one. So
yeah,
as you were. Carry on.
Quick fun fact: Brookvale Union Ginger Beer is by Four Pines, and it's brilliant.
Yes, it is.
So also had a raspberry sour from Bridge Road.
I think you're going to tell me that was good. The ginger beer was on Nitro. That'd be weird. Nitro ginger beer.
That'd be weird.
Be kind of cool now.
Yeah.
Thinking about it.
I've got to stop interrupting, Waz.
If any of the breweries want to produce a Nitro ginger beer
and send it our way,
what else do I have? A Dark Lord Dainton Imperial Stout.
Oh, yep. Back from episode one. How was that?
Top notch. Brilliant.
Yeah, it is really. It's a fearsome tasting dark beer. And
it's a... definitely a sausage burner, but it is a good one. Like you could.
Well, see, I wouldn't say it's a sausage burner because you can taste how strong it is. And that's the key to a sausage burner is that you don't taste how strong it is.
Mm-hmm. Point conceded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a fall asleep
beer. I just don't want people using the term sausage burner willy nilly. There's a strongly defined definition of this.
Yeah. We're going to get specific.
Trademarked along with Hello You, sausage burner is also trademarked.
Yeah.
Yes, sausage burner is trademarked to the poor old man.
Just give me two. Just go on Google. How to trademark.
Yes. Just Google a local lawyer. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, yeah.
DM us and we can refer you to our lawyer.
Had a beer called Altogether Volume 2 from Brick Lane Brewing.
There's been a few of those going around because they didn't arrange to do it Altogether now. I've seen a couple of US breweries do this all to do with the COVID response.
Yeah. So, good beer. Super Juicy Nipah from Hope Brewery.
Ooh.
That's an enjoyable one.
Yep.
Still, I don't think as good as a Hornet from Black Hops.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. But it's still a good, enjoyable, drinkable beer. I also had the Earl of Swirl from Stone and Wood.
Yes. I had that as well.
How good is it?
That's pretty good, actually. Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, that's a really nice beer. I quite like that. Compared to other, I don't think it's as good as the tequila counterculture that came out of the margarita one. That was good, just it was completely different. This was more, it's counterculture, but it's very mainstream kind of sour beer. But yeah, no, it's really nice. I quite enjoyed that one.
Yeah,
enjoyable. Last but not least, I tried the F11.1%.
Yep.
Yep.
Red Jet Triple IPA from Hope Brewing.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say they kind of redeemed themselves on this one.
Really?
And I mentioned this a couple of episodes ago, really didn't like the Rhino, which was the 18% stupid ABV thing.
Yep.
It wasn't enjoyable to drink. It put me to sleep and not in a good way. But this one was really enjoyable. It was a great red ale flavor. It was high ABV, but it was really palatable, really smooth, and just a great beer.
Yeah, nice.
That's the trim down list.
Yep, that is the trim down
list. That's the highlights.
Yeah, if the book doesn't sound that much, but I actually went back and post and edit out most of it, so just left the good parts in there.
So I will start with a really short list just so we can move on quickly because, again,
sorry,
thirsty.
Yep.
Grumbin Valley, I had their Misty Mountain Hop.
Oh, yeah. How's that?
It's really good. Mm. It's really good. So I think I've only had one other Grumbin Valley beer, really enjoyed it. So this is the second one. Cracking beer. Like the name, throwback to Led Zeppelin.
Yep.
It's hoppy but really smooth. So very similar to that Mr. Bates West Coast that we had at Easy Times. Mm-hmm. So, really enjoyable.
I did have the Currumbin Valley Strawberry Bubblegum Sour Ale.
Yes, I had that as well. So
I always bought that with it. So yeah.
Currumbin are doing some good stuff.
That one, it's a box ticker, the Strawberry Bubblegum one. It's everything's on the front. Everything. It's Strawberry Bubblegum Sour. It's like, yes, it's strawberry. Yes, it's bubblegum. Yes, it's sour. And that's it.
Yep.
Well, there's nothing more to say.
Done well.
So, yeah.
The other one I had was I made a trip out to Four Hearts Brewing in Ipswich.
Oh, nice.
With our cameraman, I dragged him along.
Mm-hmm. He was doing a surf culture mid over there. That's all he did.
No, he did sit on a lager for the hour and a half that we were there, and I don't think he finished it, but we'll move on.
Yeah, well.
Considering he got there half an hour before me too, so.
Yeah, he had a head start on it, did he?
Yeah, had a head start on it. And
now, I've got a question with that.
Yes.
So you didn't see him buy the beer?
No.
So there's a good chance he just found a table there that already had a beer on it just to look like he had brought one.
He did have a couple of sips while we were there. So
that doesn't mean much.
It's either
my theory sounding more solid. If you
it's either
me.
Creepy or slow, so. Either way.
I'm going creepy, but that's only because I know the guy.
But, yeah.
Well, sounds like both if you didn't finish it.
Now, I had to drive, so I had a couple of beers, particularly because I had my little man with me, but I had the Four Hearts there, Kettle Sour.
Just to clarify, he's talking about his son, not his penis.
Yeah. Well, technically, he leaves
that at home.
What was the song, Detachable Penis?
Well, it's Detachable Penis. That was the song.
No, but who did it?
I don't know.
It was a 90s one. Someone comment and let us know who did that one for us. But, yeah, had their Kettle Sour again and also had their Doppelbock, which was really malty, really good. I really enjoyed that one. So I find with Four Hearts, they do a lot of the traditional style beers, simple but flavorful, which is really good. So well worth a trip out to Ipswich.
It's funny, like places like Four Hearts and others are doing traditional style beers as a way to stand out now. That's how, back 15 years ago, everyone's doing these beers. It wasn't that great. Everyone started doing the Nipahs and the Fruities and the Sours and that sort of stuff. And now people just go back to do what the 15 years ago and they stand out. They're doing something different. Like the one I mentioned last week was the Helios.
The Belgian
Dubel, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. That's
very, very classical, very old style, but different from what anyone else is doing.
Black Ops did that double block as well, which was brilliant.
Yeah, so it's nice. So, and Russ, what
are you just a few. I had one of the Troposphere from Black Ops, which has got the Strata and Galaxy Hops. That's a really nice beer.
Good.
Really nice. The downside is I'm having that in tandem with the, it was on last week's show, I was talking about the Hop Bro Super Choice. If I wasn't drinking that, the Troposphere would probably be higher in my rankings.
That's got to be a Kiwi beer, right?
It's maybe all Kiwi hops, yeah.
Yeah, so it's the Crumbin.
Crumbin, Black Hops, and Rebel collab. They did a trip over New Zealand, got some hops together, and yeah.
So it's a shout out to our Kiwi bros.
Yeah. But yeah, it's
choice. Yeah.
That one's just loaded with hops, and this is hop loaded as well, but yeah, it's really nice. We highly recommend it. But it's just kind of
the hop bro.
I need a bit of separation between the two of them because the hop bro is very hoppy, bro.
Thanks.
Bolter, I had the double IPA 2020 version.
Yep, 2.0.
Yeah, really nice. So it seems like punchier flavors to it this year. Like they really sort of dialed up the flavor without dialing up the harshness. Is very smooth, easy drinking. Yeah, double IPA. Yeah, absolutely love it.
Which that one is a sausage burner. It sneaks up on you.
The only thing they dialed down is the size of the can, but that seems to be the way they're going at the moment.
Yeah. It seems to be since they've been purchased, the cans have gotten smaller.
Yeah, I guess it's to help a lot of people buy it. Like, you know, it's much easier to justify a $8 beer than a $13 beer, I suppose.
True.
I think Wazza, you had this one as well. This is the Sea Legs Red Rum Red IPA.
I did.
With Netherworld. And what a crazy beer that is.
Like outstanding.
It is absolutely outstanding. It's a 9.99%. You don't taste any of the ABV in there. It's, six hops, six malts, and six different things they're thrown in. It's just a fruity overload. The chili didn't come through in it, so that kind of got lost in it.
Yeah. I think it didn't seem like too much, and that was what I was worried about.
No. Yeah. Well, if you wanted to be really critical, like some of the flavors they put in there didn't stand out, got lost in there, but then they kind of sort of worked together with the overall end product, I suppose. But yeah, that's a really nice beer. That's absolutely cracker. The other one I had, I don't know what I should mention, is from one of our competitors. It's Deeds Brewing Out of Step West Coast IPA.
Yeah,
which they did with the Step Brewers podcast, which I think they're another three or four podcasts. They're down. They're not worthwhile.
Were behind us.
So yeah, don't check anyway. Just the small time anyway. So.
There's another event.
I don't know whether are we good enough to bag out people? Or are we bad enough that we can bag out people?
We're bad enough.
Yeah, that we can't bag exactly.
People. We're the little guys.
Yeah, we're raging against the machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but yeah, this West Coast IPA is really nice. It's got to the point that it's actually nice these days to have a good West Coast IPA rather than anything that's a hazy and IPA.
Yeah.
I think we all brought hazy IPAs to the show today, but.
Surprise.
But no, this is really nice, refreshing beer. It was a goodie. That's about it for me.
It's starting to sort of get dry mouthed here.
Probably should take some medication for that, mate. But time for show and tell. That's your cue. Go get the beers. So time now for round one of show and tell. This is where we all bring a beer to the table and discuss it with the class. First up to the blocks is Anthony. Anthony, what have you brought to the table?
So I have bought Dayton Brewery's Fruity Freeze Tropical Nipah.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to do a Victorian brewery focus.
We probably should have mentioned that actually.
We should have popped that in earlier, but it's all good. We're linking it in now. So
the theme for today is because obviously Victoria's come out of lockdown. They're finally out there going to have a beer. So we thought we'd throw some love to the Victorian breweries and do an all Victorian brewery episode. So
in the great words of Dan Andrews, get on the beers.
Get on the beers. Yes, indeed. Pity's brought Dainton. I think Boz has brought a VB. I don't know whether that classifies as a Victorian brewery. It's more a Japanese brewery these days, is it? But we'll discuss that later.
That's why it's craft now.
I've short poured Russ.
He's the short pour specialist, this pity fella.
But I don't short pour myself. That's the main thing.
Well, that's the problem. You short pour everyone else. That's kind of the point I'm making here.
So Fruity Freeze Tropical Nipah is pineapple, orange, and passion fruity goodness.
It's going to be hard to get a flavor out of the three drops you gave me. But
with a refreshing hoppiness and low bitterness in a juicy as...
just going to use my finger around the inside of the glass and get the flavour off that.
You've worked out the beep button now, the sensor button?
Yeah, after my
cool, outburst. They said refreshing hoppiness and low bitterness and a juicy as neighbor.
What, they put that on the can? How outrageous.
Oh, well, they did F dot dot.
Oh, so it's you that's got the point.
So you filled in the blanks.
Yeah. I filled in the blanks.
It could be anything. It could be fire truck. Could be, you know, flick. Could
fork.
Be fork, yeah.
Fork's about it. So 7.1%. So sneaky one there.
I am a big fan of Dainton.
Yes. So they are in Currum Downs, Victoria.
Currum Downs.
Currum Downs.
Tell you you're not a Victorian. Sorry, yeah, Victorians. Yeah, you
pronounced the words properly.
Oh, yeah. Hey, yes.
Says the Kiwi.
Can smell the passion fruit. Pineapple and passion fruit.
I think it's Warren's cologne.
Ah.
It was what I had for dinner last night. So I'm curious about this one.
Yeah.
I think what I love is love-hate with Dainton as they're constantly coming up with new stuff, releasing new beers all the time.
Mm.
But then if you find one you love, it's gone. Gone forever. Yeah. So you really need to jump on them quick. What did you guys think?
No, is this supposed to be reminiscent of Icy Bowl or something like that? Is that what it would be going for? All that
it is literally just juicy, fruity.
It's got that kind of feel about it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's like the
Zooka Duper.
Well, Zooka Duper or Calippo kind of.
Yeah.
It was like a orange and pineapple Icy Bowl that I remember when I was a kid.
I'm pretty sure that's what they're going for.
Yeah. That's the flavour that I'm getting.
It's citrusy with a little bit of pineapple.
Yeah, it's got the pineapple. It's got the orange citrusy.
Yeah.
As well, because it's taste wise, it's kind of like, you know, knocking on the door of like a sour kind of taste. It's not a sour; it's a neither.
Yeah.
But it's got that sort of like that bitterness to it that's making it sort of taste that way.
It's definitely juicy as fire truck.
Yes.
Actually, there is another good reason why we're doing a Victorian episode this week.
Yes.
At the moment, as a lot of you'll know, the state of origin is on.
Yep.
The what?
The state of origin.
Never heard of it.
No.
Decider would be countdown by the time this episode
I think
comes
so,
out.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Decider would have been like, 5 days ago. Sorry.
recording of this episode.
Thanks for dating the episode. It was taking the magic out of it.
I didn't. I'm not taking responsibility for that. But as I've always maintained, every good Victorian should be a Queensland fan, so let's celebrate all the Victorians that are.
Yes. Let's support those.
It's like the Bledisloe Cup for grown-ups.
Do Victorians even know what rugby league is? Or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Melbourne Storm keep winning.
Yeah, yeah, it's not Victorians that follow that. That's all of the expat Kiwis and the expat Queenslanders down there that go to the games.
Class themselves as Victorians. On the census, they're Victorians.
Yeah. Actually, so rugby union, as you guys would know, is fairly popular over in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
There is a lot of people from England and Wales and Scotland that love rugby, and league is the closest they can get to it in Victoria.
Mm. Well, yes, it is a poor man's rugby union.
Well, we'll move on because I've got so many things to say, but it'll start up something that might be the end of the pouring old man's.
I'll tell you what AFL always looks like to me, being a Kiwi that loves my rugby union. It looks like 5-year-olds playing rugby union, because what happens when you're 5 and you play rugby union? You're not allowed to tackle properly, so everyone just kind of falls over. You don't have proper rucks, so the ball goes in, everyone's trying to grab it, but then the adult goes there, picks the ball up and throws it up, and everyone goes and runs. No one knows where they're going. Everyone's running around in circles, and at the end of the day.
Anyway, back to Victoria.
Yeah.
This is a good beer.
Yeah, it is a good beer. It's nice. It's refreshing. I wouldn't say it's anything special. Like it's not memorable, but it's good.
No, but I think it's a really good, easy drinking beer.
Yeah.
No, it's nice. It's definitely reminding me of a ice block. Well, I just got that. There's Icebox in New Zealand called a fruit juice, and it tastes like this, like frozen fruit juice, Icebox, I think.
Yeah.
That's what it tastes like. That's the pineapple and the orange coming through.
If you froze a popper and drunk it.
But you wouldn't be able to drink it if it's frozen.
Queensland.
That's a prima for a Victorian.
Yes, that's for the Victorians, yes.
But then you'd freeze a popper, then it melts, and then you drink it. Then why don't you just drink it before you freeze it?
No, because you freeze it, then it melts and it's all icy.
So it's a slushy.
Yeah, it becomes a slushy. So much better.
Get a cup of juice and put some ice in it.
No, not the same. No, definitely not the same.
Because what we do in New Zealand in summer is that we take our jumpers off.
That must be fun.
It's a hell of a day.
So, what do you score that one, Warren?
I'm going to give that one a 7.
Yeah. Yeah, 7.
Russ?
how you love it, Warren, and you were a bit iffy about it, but you both gave the same score. I don't understand.
Like I said, I enjoy it. It's just not memorable for me.
And I kind of think that's where a 7 sits, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's on the higher end of...
I thought you were going to give different scores. That's all. I thought, well, Warren, you were talking it up and saying, this is really nice and pretty good. Yeah, it's not special. And you're about to give it a 7. But with that in mind, I'm going to give it a 7.
So just to be a dick.
Yeah. All right, time now for the news. Yeah, another quiet week on the news front. Pretty, you want to kick us off there, pal?
Yeah, I've got a couple of little ones. Coming back to the Victorians, Hop Nation have got a new venue coming.
Ooh, where's that coming?
Well, they've been very secretive about it. So literally they've just said new venue coming. Stay tuned for more information.
Do we have a state that is coming in?
Victoria.
Ah, okay, right.
Beyond that, they're not giving anything away. So I think it could be something a little bit different that they're doing, which could be exciting.
Well, it depends if it's different from what they normally do. They do good venues now. They could be opening up a bad venue just for something different.
You're on a roll today.
I'm just exploring all possibilities, that's all.
Cool. You'll have a lot of editing to do.
I'll keep that gold in that I'm spouting at the moment.
But that's all I got for the news. Yeah, short and sharp. Yep. Come on, chop chop.
All right, so other news items. The one I just want to mention, just because I like the name, there's a new Tasmanian brewery that's opening up, and they're called 22 Paces. Have you heard about these guys?
No.
I know very little about them other than the fact that they are a brewery opened in Tasmania, but they get their name from 22 Paces is how far he walks from his couch to the fridge to get a beer.
That's awesome.
Which I thought that's great.
It kind of, before you said that, it kind of sounded like 22 Paces sounds like a wine.
It does actually, one of those quirky wine brands with the pencil drawn image on the label. Yeah. Oh, that's a bit quirky.
Yeah. That's cool. I might have to count how many paces I do. There's my number of steps for the day.
Don't we have watches for that now?
I'm saying it's 22 paces, that's a fair distance from a fridge to a couch. Like, is he showing off? He's quite. Well, does he have quite a large house?
Maybe.
If he lived in a student flat, it'd be like good 3 paces probably, or.
It might be quite short.
Maybe.
Yeah. Who knows? One to find out.
Any other news, Russ?
Well, the one thing that came out, this is probably a couple of weeks ago now, was the craft beer survey from Beer Cartel. And so just have a quick look at the results on that one. Now, obviously, we are fanboys of the good folks over at Black Ops Brewing. And they were announced as Australia's best craft brewery, number one Black Ops Brewery. So well done to those guys. Top 5 was Black Ops, Bolter, Bent Spoke, Stonywood indeed. So the moral of the story, if you want to get in the top 5, open a brewery starting with the letter B.
And 4 out of those 5 are within 200 kilometres. Well, only Stonywood's Byron.
Yeah, that's Byron, yeah.
Which is honorary to Queenslander.
Yeah, anyways.
We'll come on, Palaszczuk, get the tanks out.
We'll count that, but...
I'm pretty sure Berejiklian told you that you couldn't have it, so go get it.
You can't fault those 5 breweries. No, they do. Not a great chance. Stuff and consistently good stuff. And in time they release different things, consistently good. So,
rarely put a foot wrong.
Yeah.
They also announced Australia's favourite craft beer bar / pub by state. So Queensland, the favourite craft beer bar was Brewski. New South Wales was the Grain Store, ACT, Old Canberra, in Victoria was Carwin Cellars, Tasmania was St. John Craft Beer Bar, South Australia, Nola, Adelaide, and West Australia was Dutch Trading Co.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, I'm just trying to look through here. So they did have a release of favourite craft beer venues per state, but I can't bring that up at the moment.
While you're going through that,
go on then.
I'll pop on with my news and we can come back to it.
Sure.
Fire away.
So I was at Happy Valley Brewing the other day. You guys might have remembered it from a few episodes ago. It's a new one that's popped up out in inner suburbs of Brisbane. They are canning their first release, which will be available to purchase from the 16th of November.
Nice,
yep.
They've also started doing a cider, so that's currently brewing. So they're adding a bit more versatility to their range.
Cool. So you can take the missus with you and she can drink the cider, you drink the beer.
Exactly.
Nice.
Yep. And they also recently did a collab with Netherworld, which is their Black Horse, which is an American Imperial Stout. The name of it is Monster Menagerie 4, the Four Horsemen.
Interesting.
It was good.
Yeah.
Very good. Nice. A very good stout. Done, guys.
Yeah.
How have we gone? Have we found the the venues?
No, can't find it.
Do you want to hear a couple of little fun facts about Victoria?
Yes. I've been waiting for this.
Yes. Let's get some fun facts about Victoria from a non-Victorian. Go on, Betty. Enlighten us.
Should we get Donald ready for fake news?
Yeah. Do you want to tell us about Tyna as well while you're at it?
So I'm going to start with some simple stuff. So it is the smallest mainland state of Australia.
Yep. Well, yeah.
Yeah. But it's the second highest population, so it's the most dense place. Did you
use Google for that one?
I actually used the Victorian website.
Did you just look at a map and see that, oh, that's a small state?
And when you say highest population, do you mean by number? Do you mean by number of individuals or level of drug abuse?
No, that'll be so I was going to say ACT, but it's not a state, I suppose, is it?
No.
Yeah. First feature film in the world was made in Victoria.
That was Ned Kelly, wasn't it?
Yes. It was a story about Ned Kelly.
I didn't need to Google
that. Greatest Victorian to ever be a Victorian.
Yep.
Really?
Really?
Well, I'm trying to be humble. It's me. I'm the greatest Victorian to ever be a Victorian, but I've got to hand it off.
Oh, the bloke was a criminal. Let's not.
You Kiwis and your fixation on criminals.
Kiwis don't know laws.
Don't they send all their criminals over here?
Yeah, it makes them feel at home.
That was good. Actually, while we're on the topic, here's another fun fact.
Yep.
That the largest Greek population in the world outside of Athens is Melbourne. Cool. Is that the end of Pity's fun facts about Victoria?
That's it. I can't be bothered with the rest.
Oh, fair enough. Sorry, we've made a mockery of this whole thing. That was good, thank you.
Was it?
Yes. So I was so inspired by last week's mystery beer that I decided to bring along another Bright Brewery beer, another great Victorian brewery called the MIA IPA. And there's a bit of a spiel on the back about this. So paragliding is an exciting adrenaline-filled sport synonymous with our hometown. MIA IPA is named in honour of our former brewer who loved to go paragliding. Well, this is getting dark.
Oh.
In his lunch break. But
this is not going to have a good ending, is it?
It doesn't seem that way. When the first batch of his IPA was ready to be kegged, he was nowhere to be found. Day turned to night, and then he was eventually discovered 8 hours later on Mount Feathertop.
Was he alive?
It doesn't say.
Don't leave us hanging.
Yeah.
I know. But Feathertop's not
the was he part left to hanging?
Get down
was...
from, so I don't know what. I'm just going to leave that one alone. Anyway, here's a beer.
Oh, that's going to dampen the mood a bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm sure he was fine.
For all the kids out there, he was fine.
Yeah. Let's just.
The police saved him. this one is a 6.5 ABV, and it's mountain crafted, apparently.
Ah, did he craft it while he was on the mountain waiting to be rescued? That's why.
Maybe. Okay, now my turn to short pour.
That's a lot darker in colour.
Mm.
It is dark for an IPA, isn't it?
Yeah. It's almost into like American IPA sort of
American
colours.
Really like hoppy West Coast style.
Short poured myself.
Oh, that's a first. You short poured yourself. I'll short pour myself on the Samboy the other week. You can grab some wine if you really want.
No, it's okay. It's all here to share. All right, I'm going to crack into it.
Yep. So it's quite a clear beer. It's a little bit of haze going through there. It's obviously not filtered.
MIA IPA is all about adventurous hop flavors. This American style IPA is a celebration
of
juicy tropical floral hops with a well-balanced bitterness and a malt structure that just lets the hops sing.
Funnily enough, you get that sort of floral smell to it.
Well, they
more of a bouquet.
They go on.
Oh, they go on. They continue.
You'll discover heady aromas and flavors of mango, passion fruit, and lychee.
You're thinking the amount that's written on the can would be a bigger can.
Yeah, it's actually a brochure that was given to me.
So you decided to drink our beer.
Interesting.
It is an American style.
Yeah.
IPA, I believe. It's kind of it's fruity, but it drops away very quickly flavor wise.
No, so, you bought the other American style IPA. It was the Cyclops from Helios.
Helios, yes.
Now, that was a bit sort of harsh on the back end, a bit more bitters than this one.
Mm. Yeah, this one definitely it's like flavor and then gone. Probably not getting as much of that. Oh, there's not a fruit pop. There's a little sort of fruitiness to it, but it's
it's not lingering.
Punchy sort of fruit. It's not a punchy hop. It's not a punchy malt. Not punchy.
But that'll be the style. That's the American IPA style, like the American Pale Ale style.
Mm.
You don't get a lot of the fruitiness you get from a lot of the beers these days. You just get that malty and bitter and.
But a lot of the American ones I tend to find are either more malty, or if they go to the West Coast, that more hoppy, sort of resiny one. This one's sort of just almost a light version of those.
Yeah, it's well for me. It's clean. It's simple. It's refreshing. It's got a bit of bitterness to it, but it goes down well. And I quite like it actually.
Yeah, I think you could comfortably sit and drink this all afternoon.
Yeah, it'd definitely be a sessionable sort of like, pick up a few and enjoy them. So
I think that's the thing is, if we were talking back to last episode, those summer style beers, this is actually a summer style IPA because it is just light, easy drinking. It works.
Yeah.
Again, it's not memorable, but it works.
I was about to say that. It's not memorable, but I'd be quite happy sitting and having a session on this.
Yeah.
But see, not being memorable is also can be a good thing. Like I remember quite clearly, like Sandboy Salt and Vinegar and Smashing Pumpkin and all that. I remember them. It's not a good memory.
Yes.
So it's a nice, comfortable, easy drinking.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like memorable can be good or bad.
Mm.
This is just, it's good.
Yeah. It's a good beer. Yeah. So I'll just give that a very good 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I was going to say 7.5.
Seven. But I don't think it's any better than the Dainton, so.
All right, so closing off show and tell for today, finishing off our Victorian special. We have a beer from Tall Boy and Moose. This is Thunder Hammer Apricot Kivyek Double IPA.
Interesting. I haven't heard of them.
I've heard bits and pieces about them the last few weeks. They're one of the smaller places in Melbourne, I believe. But, yeah, they're also getting a bit of distribution going at the moment. So it's a Thunder Hammer IPA, apricot over it, and it says Breakfast in Norway.
That'll appeal to our Norwegian listener.
There we go.
Yeah.
This one's for you.
Yeah. Shout out to you in Norway.
Yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, so it's brewed and packaged in Raglan Street, Preston, Victoria. So there we are. And
which street?
Raglan Street.
Raglan. I thought you said Ragnar. I was like, well, that's appropriate being like a Norwegian.
All right. So
very dark, like the last one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether it's got apricot in it, so whether like the apricot's coming through and sort of bringing the colour through a bit.
See, I did read a fun fact on this one. They put the whole apricot in there, so it's got a little bit of arsenic in it.
Awesome. Arsenic comes from apricots?
Apricot seed.
What?
See, yeah, pity gets a juicy bit at the bottom of the can there.
Educational as well. So.
Yeah. Whoa. Well, that is interesting.
Yeah. That's there's a whole lot of apricot smell in there.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's the very sticky, sweet apricot jam kind of.
Wow.
So it's an apricot kvik.
Mm.
I don't know what that is.
Kvik is a Norwegian yeast, I believe. It's started getting trendy, I think, 2019. Like, a lot of places were experimenting with it, using it and stuff. Seen a
couple of times.
Yeah, it was starting to like grow in popularity. It's kind of faded away this year, but it's just something that popped up out of nowhere. So the brewery's been experimenting with.
What's the ABV on this one?
8%.
8%, yeah. 2.8 standard drinks. I like the can art.
The can art's amazing, actually.
And it's very simple in terms of the directions. Not like the last one where it was a novel. It's breakfast in Norway. Store cold, drink fresh, which is good advice.
So if it's breakfast in Norway, they must eat a lot of apricots for breakfast. This is very apricot-y.
Or drink a
lot of beer.
Yeah, there's like an apricot marmalade sort of apricot, thick sort of sweet apricot jam.
Yeah.
It's, if you don't like apricots, do not have this beer.
It's almost like a marmalade sour. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's got that strong apricot flavour, a bit of sour bitterness on the end of it, and a little bit of sweetness.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got a bit of sort of sweetness coming through there, so, yeah.
It does remind me of a wheat beer. I just got a finish on the end of just a bit of wheatiness.
Yeah, I can see where you get that, actually.
Yeah, again, yeah, that wheat beer sort of aspect.
I don't know if this makes sense, but yeah, the flavour sort of finishes on a high note. Like, you sort of, the flavour goes through and just that little twing at the end of that sort of wheaty lager that's coming through.
If you had some apricot marmalade and followed it with a wheat beer and sort of swished it all around in your mouth, right, that's what you'd be getting about here.
I can't imagine apricots are big in Norway. It doesn't seem the right sort of climate.
No.
I don't know much about fruit. There's not much that survives plant-wise in my garden. I really like the uniqueness of it.
Yeah, there's no comparison to any other beer that I've had. Like,
this is memorable.
Yeah.
I don't know whether it's good or bad memorable, but it's memorable. Well,
I think it's unique enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know, it's not unique. I'm never going to drink that again, but I'm glad I tried it.
It's an exploration of the beer. Like, as you're drinking it, you're kind of sort of trying to dissect it and pick it apart and think, oh, that's that, and trying to gauge what each of the little flavors coming through is. It's quite in that aspect, it's quite an enjoyable beer. I quite like it, actually.
Yeah.
Would I be able to have a couple of these? No.
No.
Not at all. This is
it's a single beer only.
It's intense.
Actually, we were talking about summer beers earlier on the last episode.
Yeah.
And so we had the run of beers going. You had the sour beer first. You had the what was the other one?
The juicy
box after that. Yep. Finish it off with that. That's your trilogy of beers.
This would be a very good finisher because it's got that sweetness, still has that strong fruit, but it just, it has something else to it. I'm really glad I've had this one, though.
Yeah.
I think I could do a second. And it would probably be a beer I could buy, enjoy now, buy it again in a month, and enjoy it again.
Yes. Exactly that. You buy one and then a month later you see it back in the shop. Yeah, I could go another one.
Yeah. Not necessarily buying a four-pack and having one sort of every night.
That's a very interesting beer. I quite enjoy that, actually.
So well done to
Tallboy and Moose.
Tallboy and Moose.
I was looking at another one of these ones. It was a coconut oat cream IPA, something like that they do. And I picked it up, had a look at the oh, should have grabbed that one, put that one down, and looked at something else, came back, and someone had taken the last can of the other one. I was like, oh, damn you.
Well, to be fair, they've kind of landed us on a really good, interesting beer.
So. Mm, absolutely.
In saying that, massive for it. Fan of the oat cream ones, so could have been a winner on both accounts.
we'll never know. Yeah, that was the last beer in existence.
So I'll give that an 8 out of 10. Actually,
no, I was going to say an 8.5 for that one. It's unique. It's enjoyable. I'd drink it again, and it's interesting.
Yeah, it's got a couple. Yeah, it's a fun beer. You can kind of sip away on that and really explore it. I like it.
I think as far as beers go, I would say it's probably on par with the other two that we've had this episode, but surely for its uniqueness, it's going to get a little extra, so probably 7.5.
I'd say, you know, the other beers, you could drink all day long, be happy.
Yep.
They're non-distinct.
That's
the beauty in them because they're just classics done well.
Yep.
This one is just it's something.
It's something you'll tell other people about, the fact that you've had it. If someone else has it in their fridge and you see it, you
go. Well, if someone posts something like that online and I've just cracked into this one, you go, yes, I've had that. How interesting is that beer?
It's a conversation.
Exactly. The MIA from Bright, you know, you post that, it's like, fine.
Yeah. Yeah, the other two were definitely just run-of-the-mill good beers.
Mm-hmm.
This is a conversation beer.
All right, time to have a look at the new brews coming near yous. I made that a tagline. Haven't already noticed.
Hashtag another trademark.
Yes, absolutely. I'm popping these up at the moment. I've only got a few this week. So the first one I noticed going on from last week, we're talking about the new Eclipse Hop, which is all the rage. Akasha have a new special project beer coming out. It is imaginatively titled. Those apricots are doing numbers on me.
Yeah.
Eclipse IPA coming out. So there's a limited release coming out from them. So if you love the Eclipse Hop, you're in luck. There's more of it coming.
Can I say, I hope someone does like a total eclipse of the moon or something and it's a dark.
I'm sure it's on the way. The other one that caught my attention was from the folks over at Deep Creek in New Zealand. This is their Senorita Chili Hazy IPA, which is – that's what they have a lot of variations on the hazy IPA formula. They do different types, and you know, I had the monsoon one on the day of the storm that ripped through Springfield the other day.
Nice.
was appropriate. But yeah, this one, Senorita Chili Hazy IPA. So interesting to see how chili goes in that one. Because
they do great hazy. So I think the chili would be interesting.
The can art on this one's pretty good as well. It looks pretty cool.
So again, that's sort of that Day of the Dead sort of vibe. Awesome.
Yep. Penny, what have you got over there?
I've only got a couple. So speaking of my sort of musical theme ones, Mr. Banks has a DDH Oak Cream IPA.
Mm-hmm.
Turnaround Bright Eyes.
Nice.
So that one's coming out. Ocean Reach Brewing has a Lime Seawater Goes coming out. So that should be interesting because I haven't seen much of Ocean Reach before. And our tired old friend who's fallen asleep again did recommend the Dos Blocos.
Yeah. Well, Wazza loves his beer, but he has more than two and he falls asleep. So we'll give him a kick in the pants and a tick. But for now, we'll let him doze off the apricot.
So he couldn't stop talking about the Mary Jane Pineapple OG, which is a hemp ale.
I'm just confirming something here. I thought so, that Mr. Banks turned around Bright Eyes.
Yep.
Is also on the Eclipse Hops.
There you go.
So there you go. We're going to do a whole episode of Eclipse Hops coming up. So
we might have to do that. It's special.
There's 12 beers coming out in the pack. I mentioned, I think, last week.
Mr. Banks, Deeds, like there are a couple of cracking breweries focusing on it. Akasha, which is another good one. We might track some of those down and do a special.
Yeah, absolutely.
If we can find them, if they're still in stock.
That's the main thing. Anyway, I think that's all we got for the new brews.
I think so.
Well, that's all we have time off. We'll grab Where's Wazza in a tick. But for now, I've been Russell.
I've been Anthony.
And I'm Wazza.
And we'll catch you next time on The Pouring Old Men.
G'day, guys. Where's Wazza here? Now, look, I've got to admit something straight off the bat. After the worst team in Queensland State of Origin history belted New South Wales and won the series on Wednesday, I may have hit the beers a little bit too hard. So, when I woke up on Thursday in Melbourne, I thought, what a happy accident. And I thought it was a great opportunity to pop down into one of my favorite venues, which is Boilermaker House in the CBD. While it is primarily a whiskey bar, they also have a massive selection of craft beers. And they're always changing the beers they have available. So there's a great selection of options to choose from whenever you turn up. The hardest part for me, I'd say, when I visit this place is first deciding between whiskey and beer and then deciding what I'll have. The menu has a great selection of platters and meat and cheese boards to snack on with your beverages, and they've really made the choices for the menu based on what's going to pair really well with the drink you choose. It's not a place that you would go to have dinner. It's a place that you'd go after dinner to enjoy a nightcap and a great snack, or an afternoon, or even a lunch if you just wanted a bit of a boozy lunch. The atmosphere is great in the place. It has a Prohibition era feel to it and an old school charm that sort of makes it a great cozy choice, especially on a cold Melbourne night. Overall, the service is brilliant. All of the bar staff really know their stuff and are always happy to help you decide because they really are experts in what they do. I've walked in there a couple of times and they've obviously noticed me staring at the menu trying to figure out what I'm going to do, and they're happy to take the time and ask you, you know, what your preference is, whether it's beer or whiskey, what your preference is, what type of styles you like, and give you a couple of options that really do hit the spot. If you are feeling a bit undecided, though, you can always choose a Boilermaker, of course, and get a great beer paired with a great whiskey, which is always a fun experience. Overall, I think this place is well worth a visit when you get the opportunity. It's definitely one of my favourite places to visit in Melbourne when I'm down there. So I guess that being the case, I would rate it an 8.5 out of 10. Definitely worth a stop in when you get the chance. That's all for me from Where's Wazza. I'll see you next week.